Maria.
Carol.
Listeners, it's been forever.
Hey, everybody.
Did you miss us?
We missed you.
Let me say, welcome to season 7 of Sticky Pickles.
Oh, my God.
Ever find yourself stuck in a pickle, knee deep in a dilemma? Question is, what do you do now? I'm Carol.
I'm Maria. This is season 7. Oh my God. Episode 1. Sticky Pickles. What we have on tap for you today, dear listeners, is the retreat and the funky pickle.
Hi, Maria.
Hi. I missed you, my friend, and I really need a pick-me-up today. I'm having a rough one.
Oh, I'm here. Me too. You know what? Me too. It's not been the best lead-up to the show. My voice is going, as listeners can tell. Apologies for that. It was going on Smashing Security this week as well.
A lot of our listeners listen to both, so they will recognize it. Yeah. I'm also under the weather. Yay! And listeners, I have to apologize if you hear some noise in the background for me. I work from home and my street is getting repaved and they're also redoing our sidewalks all at the same time. So
you're surrounded by noise.
There's nothing I could do about it. I'm surrounded by industrial noise.
So she's under her bed, listeners, with the blanket, pillows on all sides, like a fort.
Curl, save me from myself. Tell me about your sticky pickle, the retreat.
I'm kind of nervous. I think I overthought this story.
We're rusty. It's been a whole summer.
Exactly. It's like doing yoga after 6 months. You know, you're like, oh, geez, I'm tight.
Crack, 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 crack.
I want to talk to you about my friend Cecily. You do not know Cecily. You don't know her. But Cecily, as of late, feels a little aimless, like us, perhaps.
Oh, my goodness. Do I relate? Yes.
And she's not sure what to do or what the point of it all is. So, like, she's great at her job, but the spark's kind of less sparky. She loves her family. It's a gaggle of boys. But as of late, she seems only to get irritated by them.
Okay, yeah.
She knows she needs to do something. She needs to do something about this. And people have been talking to her about meditation and stuff like this.
Well, that fixes everything.
So she decides to look in on it. She starts looking around and she's, you know, Googling and, you know, searching on the web, surfing.
She's Googling. She's on the internet superhighway. Yes. Okay. Surfing the net.
Surfing the net. Yeah, slaloming along. And then eventually one catches her eye. A silent retreat.
Mm.
So she's reading on the website, you know, quote, a silent meditation retreat involves taking a vow of silence for a given period, which means no talking during meditations, meals, yoga, journaling, reading, and other activities.
Pay someone for a week to shut the fuck up. Okay.
Yeah. She reads on. Silent retreats may last for several hours or up to several months.
Months?
And they may be done alone or with a small or large group of people under the guidance of trained teachers.
Okay, month-long silent retreat. I'm actually interested now. Where do I sign up for that? That sounds great.
I think you would go insane.
Me, as someone who talks for a living, I would go insane? Curl, how dare you?
I'm with you 100%. And finally, she's on the site. This is what clinches the deal for her. It says, the clarity, insight, healing, and inner peace available makes silent retreats a powerful tool for personal growth and transformation.
Especially if you can afford it. Yeah, sounds great.
This is what a Nietzsche thinks.
Mm.
And she decides she finds one amongst the list of this company, and it's 5 days long, so she's not going cray-cray.
Okay. Not totally off the grid.
It's not too far from where she lives.
Yeah.
Promises nature, wildlife, quiet, and reflection.
Sounds nice.
Yeah, right? So she gets to the retreat, drives in, and there's a gatehouse, right, where you need to release your phone and your devices, sign some papers, and wait for the guru.
Yeah, well, I'm also like, Sticky Pickles listeners, guess what? We're starting our own Sticky Pickles silent retreat.
It lasts 30 seconds.
Just everybody shut off for 30 seconds. Okay, there you go. We did it. You passed. That wasn't even 30 seconds. Could we do it?
No.
Just download a podcast episode of 30 seconds of silence.
That could be our bonus episode. Okay.
That's what we give to our Patreon folks. 30 seconds of us not speaking.
Trying not to laugh. Okay.
Yeah, that's our Patreon bonus. Us not talking. Anyway, I'm sorry. Girl, I totally went off the set.
So, okay, so there she is, right? She's no phone. So she can't even just, like, you know, peruse while she's waiting for the other women to show up. You know, there's only women going to this one. Mm. And, like, you know, they kind of get there, but, you know, it's a silent retreat. So everyone just waggles eyebrows, right? Awkwardly. And then the guru arrives, right? Their guru, this Amazon-like character, but in miniature, like, she's kind of like a formidable 4'10" person.
Okay, listen. Listen. Do you remember how tall I am, girl?
And you're formidable in all ways. So yeah, you understand completely.
Yeah, I'm like 5'1" on a good day. So yeah, I'm like, hey, don't make short people jokes.
So the rules are handed around, right? It's made clear no one's to talk from when they leave this gatehouse until the return in 5 days' time.
How are they being told this information?
On a piece of paper, Maria. Very good question.
Okay. You're right. I'm like, is the guru allowed to speak?
They're only allowed to talk if it's a life or death situation or an emergency.
What qualifies an emergency? Like, hey, I need a charger for my phone.
And all this is in the name of enlightenment after reflection. The moment we leave, the note said, we are becoming witnesses. Ooh, witnesses.
This feels extremely grounded in reality. Like, you've done some research for today's Sticky Pickle.
I will explain all at the end. Cecily loves that. She loves this kind of, you know, witnessing thing. Goodbye, world, she says. See you in 5 days. So off they trot, right? They follow the guru into the woods, past the stream, across the wood and a farm and via field, and they walk for hours. And the thing is, Cecily's shoes are not right for this. And she's blistered up proper.
Oh, unpleasant.
Yeah, so she hobbles up to the guru at the front, right? But the guru shakes her head and puts her fingers to her lips and goes, shh. So, for Sticky, Maria.
Mm.
Shh.
Nobody shushes Maria.
You're bleeding.
No, I'm kidding. So somebody just shushed me.
You just got a silent retreat, Maria.
I just got shushed. And my feet are bleeding.
Isn't pain the way to grace, though, Maria?
I do not subscribe to that mentality, but that explains a lot in my life.
So is it noted, or do you say something at this point, or do you note it?
I mean, can she kick her shoes off and just walk barefoot? That might be nice.
Walk barefoot. Yes, maybe she could. Exactly.
That's what I would do, like in a heartbeat.
Okay, shoes off, barefoot, bleeding all over the place, leaving your DNA and blood.
Are we worried about being indicted on a crime scene here? Is that like, is this podcast taking a hard right turn? It's now a true crime podcast. She left her DNA all over the scene.
The next morning, a woman from the group is missing.
Oh, it is taking a hard right turn. All right.
And a note is passed around from the guru saying that the woman talked in her sleep. Right, disturbing the guru and others in nearby tents. So she was asked to leave. And the guru needs her rest and is not to be disturbed.
They can fuck off. That's crazy. Are you kidding me?
It's a serious fucking retreat. What do you want me to say?
Okay, this is fucking crazy. That's
you're like, this is not what I signed up for.
That's just insane. Who's responsible for what they do while they're asleep? Put some fucking earplugs in and move on with your life.
That evening, Cecily, normally a great sleeper, is totally awake for the second night running because it's so flipping quiet, right? She thinks she's going insane.
She can hear her heartbeat in her ears and she's like, this is too quiet. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe that's the meditation and reflection working. She doesn't know. She might be in transformation period. She doesn't know. But she's sitting out, right, outside of her little tent, staring up at the stars. And who does she spy but the guru heading out of the camp in a peculiarly sneaky way?
Okay, is this an episode of Scooby-Doo now? Is she someone to pull the mask off?
It might be. It's been a while. Remember?
Yeah. Okay. And this is the true crime episode of Sticky Pickles. The sticky is death. Okay.
So on a whim, Cecily decides to follow, right? Hobbling after the guru in her bare feet as quietly as possible. And it's kind of delicious, right? The whole spying thing. And she's kind of getting the giggles, you know? Because, you know, she has to be super quiet.
I'm a ninja now. Okay.
But then the guru stops, right? Cecily dives behind a tree and they're like 10 meters apart. Cecily peeks around the tree and sees the guru take out a mobile phone and dial.
Oh!
And then Cecily hears the guru say, Jason, Jesus Christ, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I can't stand the quiet. This is a nightmare. Why did I think I could stand in for you while at your hippie camp while you went surfing? The only thing I've said for 24 hours is shh. Cecily, of course, clamps her hands over her mouth, right? Because, and the guru says, I know, I'm sorry, I need the money. It's just fucking hell.
She's also a podcast host who just finds it impossible to shut up for that long.
Maria.
Yeah.
This is where you're at.
Okay.
If you're Cecily, what do you do at this point? We're going to discuss. What are you thinking?
Does anything actually need to be done in this situation? This is just good goss. I mean,
right? You could keep. Well, how do you can't tell anyone if you're keeping up the charade.
If we feel like Guru Standin is doing a decent enough job at shutting up and telling other people to shut up, then
put it in your back pocket. You might need it later, right? You might be able to say when she shushes you next time. What are you going to say?
You can just flip her the bird. You shush me. Fuck you. Fuck you, faker.
And also, it might be good currency. You could write in the dirt to the other women, right? She's a fake.
Yeah, you could just write it with a stick in the dirt, like in random places on your walk and be like, faker, fake guru. And then, like, it can be a mystery upon a mystery. Like, who's leaving these messages? What do they mean? Ooh. And then somebody's going to get murdered.
And you'd never sleep again because you'd be waiting for her to jump out of her tent to call Jason to complain about the voodoo shit that's going down.
It's amazing. And now there's like a murder mystery, mayhem, other M words that alliterate at the Keeping Mum retreat. I mean, it sounds like it's like, you know, I bet you're bored. It gives you something to do and to chew on, right?
I'm crying with joy already, Maria. I've missed you so much.
I missed you too, buddy. Girl.
Maria. I would be killing myself. I would be weeing myself with laughter behind the tree. Like, I would give myself away where I'm in that situation.
There's just a little piddle puddle where you once stood.
Okay, honestly, you'd hear the leaves of the tree shake with my body trying to heave its hilarity of the situation.
It's a fake.
Can I tell you quickly what inspired the story?
Yeah, God, yes.
A friend of a friend actually went on a silent retreat and the toaster caught fire. And all these people were just mouthing. He didn't know what to do.
They're all going, oh my God.
And I tried to make a story out of that, like going, what? Otter? What? Like trying to understand what the mouth movements are. But I just couldn't pull it off. But, you know, it's a good 30-second story, you know. You get a twofer this week. Welcome to season 7.
If we were a video, that would be an amazing thing to mime. Like, if we had a video component, be like, what do you do when shit catches fire? It's a silent retreat. But the fact that it's a toaster makes it a lot funnier. I don't know why, but that's especially funny.
Well, when I was writing it, I was like, well, Maria's going to go, this is dangerous. Like, I just couldn't get away from you getting all like mumsy on me and getting all like, this is a dangerous situation.
You just called me mumsy. For shit I didn't say. No, yeah, but you clocked me, admittedly. That totally is what I would say.
Maria.
Yes.
Tell me about your sticky pickle, funky pickle.
Funky pickle. Indeed, it is a stinky pickle. It is an inverse of an oldie. I'm inverting an oldie. This is actually an inverse of one of Anna's classics.
Oh.
So for funky pickle, I really wish it involved dancing or shaking that funky pickle or something. No. This is about return to office, which is a phrase that sends blood running cold for many of us.
Makes me cry. Yeah.
For many of us who've been working at home for years now, the idea of going back to the office is like, not great. Some of us also don't have an option. Some of us have been in the office this whole time.
I heard someone say it was a bit like sticking a pencil into your eyeball. That's how much they were looking forward to it.
One could say that it would be like that. For many people, it's just like you just have to do it. You don't have a choice. You have to go back to the office at least a few days a week. And it's been a long while for many people. Like, it's been literal years. So how do you be a professional human amongst other professional humans again? One could say one might be a little bit rusty at...
What's this 111? Look, I worry about the listeners here who have had to work through the entire pandemic without a break.
Yes.
And they're just probably just going, shut the fuck up. Like, you had 3 years sitting on your ass in your little cozy IKEA wheelie chair at your desk.
Yes, that's a fact. Yes, yes.
You know, be able to walk to the kitchen anytime and have a plethora of food available, not just the sandwich you packed. Yeah. Anyway, I'm shitting on your parade. You're sitting there and it is still a big deal. I've heard many people call me and say, I don't want to go back. I have to go back. I don't want to go back. I did all my work done. Everything's fine. Why?
Yeah, it's happening. So for people who are going back, who have had the option of being soft for 3 or 4 years or whatever now, you do forget how to sort of exist in an office again. Like, I remember people forgetting, like, their badges that you have, you know, to get into the office. Like, do they even work anymore? Do you remember that you have to clip that thing to your belt?
You can't open the window. Remember that?
Windows are openable.
You can't shit on your own.
Yeah. All these things. Like, you know, you can't microwave your fish.
You can't work in your, like, pajamas and slippers.
Yeah, you can't do all, you got to not just always wear soft pants. Sometimes you got to wear hard pants. It's a thing, y'all.
Trousers.
Thank you. I can hear our UK listeners going, what the fuck? All right. They know. They hear my American accent. They know. So we have two coworkers who are returning to the office. They're not the only ones, but they're two coworkers who work together a lot. They actually got hired during like the height of COVID work at home. So they've never met in person up until like today.
Yep.
So we have Alan, who's one of the engineering leads, and he is one of those guys who extremely good at his technical work, and he's also very good at talking to people. So he's not one of those people you want to like hide away in a like a back office. Like, he's one of those dudes you can bring in on a customer.
Wheel him out,
and he'll charm the pants. Okay. I should stop saying pants. He'll charm people very much. And people go, oh, this engineer is really very, very charismatic. That's great. And then he's got a coworker that he works with a lot. Now, they're not on the same team, but they work a lot together. And his coworker's name is Prosh. And Prosh is, I guess, technically slightly lower level on the rung. He works in sales, and he's one of, like, the sales guys. So Prosh and Alan tend to team up if they're trying to land a deal or if they're trying to sweet talk a customer, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Prosh is very, very meticulous. He, like many people who work in sales, tend to be very like put together physically and in terms of fashion and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they always have nice watches.
Nice watches, fresh haircut, nicely polished shoes, like all of it, all the details are taken care of. Alan, not so much. Alan's not a slob, but just he doesn't think of this stuff. It's just very, I wouldn't even say secondary. I'd say it would be like tertiary at best. But this hasn't really mattered so much when you're on a Zoom call because you're just seeing the upper body, you know, the shoulders and the head, so whatever. Anyway, so they're back in the office and it just so happens that this day that they're meeting for the first time in person, which they've been like joking about, hey, it'll be good to actually see you in person, shake your hand. They actually have a customer coming into the office that day. And now this customer is one that they're trying to do what's called an upsell, which is where they've been, you know, buying a little bit for a while, but they're trying to really land some big deal with this guy. So they need to impress the customer. And it's like make or break for Prosh and Alan, for both of them. Like if
you don't close this deal, you're out of here.
They need to close this deal to make their numbers. Otherwise, it's like really like very nerve wracking, right? So this is very, very high pressure. And Alan is like, he's so nervous about this customer because like it's been a while since he's had to meet a customer in person.
And the pressure's on, right?
And he has to give a presentation basically to convince the customer why the thing that the widget that they sell is like the thing this customer really needs. So he's like pacing around and on and on. And at one point, he finally meets up with Prosh in person and they do, oh my God, shake hands. It's so great to see you in person. How's your wife? Whatever, all that kind of stuff. And Prosh is like, listen, we gotta get our heads down. Alan's great. Let's get into like beast mode, war mode, full fucking send. 10 minutes from now is our meeting with the customer. They're gonna be here in the big conference room with the nice chairs and the beautiful panoramic view of the city with like the gorgeous floor-to-ceiling glass walls. So let's go find a call room, which is one of those tiny little cubicles that has no windows. It's just like a door.
It's awful. Yeah, it's a closet for...
It's a closet to have a private conversation in. It can maybe fit two people, usually just one, two at most. But I want to emphasize how small these rooms are and how they really don't have ventilation. So they get into this call room and they sit down in the little chairs and they're like, okay, all right, what are we thinking for this one? Like, I know we've been practicing this one, but like, let's just go over.
Yeah, what's our plan? Yeah.
Like, who's going to start? Like, how should I lead in? And like 30 seconds into sitting in the room, Prosh is like, okay, I think I'm imagining it, but this room smells really bad.
Oh no.
Did somebody like leave something in the trash can? And he's like, as Alan's talking, he like looks over to the trash. He's like, what's over there? Like, no, there's the trash can's empty. It just smells like something died in this room.
Oh no.
And the realization comes over him, as it probably did just
oh,
you.
Oh no.
That is Alan that stinks to high heaven.
Nervous sweat.
The nervous
is
sweat.
The worst.
It is. The stinky nervous sweat. And, you know, they're in a small room together, so it is like, Prosh is starting to feel a little nauseous. Like, it is a, and even Alan is starting to like, like,
oh my God.
And like, they're both trying to not address it, but at the same time, Prosh is like, this is very obvious. So, okay, you're Prosh.
Yeah. I'm very direct, though. I think I would be like, dude, you're fucking great, but you reek. Sort it out. Go, 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 go. We have 3 minutes. Like, I would be right on that.
Okay.
Like, he can't go in like that.
Correct.
Because I'm getting half my sale depends on him not, like, stinking out the room.
And Alan is probably also, if I was in Prosh's shoes, I'd imagine, like, maybe Alan is also realizing something is amiss and he's, like, mortified, but he doesn't know what to do.
100%. And needs an okay to
clear the air. So to speak.
Yeah.
All right. But it is literally like your customer's going to be here in 2 minutes.
Alan's late. It's no big deal. He's dealing with something with his child. He'll be here in a minute. Like, whatever. Anything. White lie time.
Right. But like, what are we at? What, if you're Prosh, are you telling him go home and take a shower? Like, what are we recommending?
Oh, no. I don't know how. Okay. I'm imagining you just need to go into a bathroom area with a sink.
Mm. Splash your...
Wipe yourself down and soap yourself down. Get a lot of hand towels. Clean yourself up from the stink. Because the stink's coming from we know where.
The pits, tits, and naughty bits.
That's right. So it's time. Like, if he doesn't have time to go home, of course he has to just... It's like basically a slap and wipe. And
a slap and wipe. get a baby wipe and just kind of smooth it all down.
Baby wipes. That's, gentlemen, why you carry them, by the way.
I've done many an impromptu shower at work with the baby wipes.
Men don't know that, though. Many women, we all do it. That's the secret.
It is a bit of a secret. So they are men and don't know this. Alan's freaking out a little bit, admittedly. He's realizing that he reeks. And he goes, oh, my God, Prosh, I just realized I forgot to put on deodorant this morning.
Yep.
Because he doesn't do it when he's at home because he's not around anybody. So it's just not part of his routine anymore. He's like, I don't have any with me at my desk. And Prasha's like, yeah, I don't need that. I always wear it. I never forget. So I don't have any to lend to you. And Alan's like, I can't do the splash thing because I'm just going to get myself wet. And these are my only clothes. And like, I'm going to come in looking dripping wet. Like, that's worse. I can't do that. So Prasha's like, okay. Give me a second. Let me just think. Okay, I got it. Let's just go to the meeting. So Alan, you come in after me. But let me go first. And then Prosh runs off in the opposite direction of the meeting room. What do you think Prosh is doing?
Doesn't go to the meeting. He's like ran off. He just said, I'm not even going.
No. For a half second, Alan thought that Prosh just fucked off and was like, you're on your own. He didn't. He's going to somewhere else in the company to get something. And I'm just curious to think. I'm curious to see if you can figure out what kind of solution Prosh is coming up with.
Okay. I'm going to imagine it's a fan that is going to go behind the people that are there for the meeting towards Alan to redirect the stink flow.
That is a good idea. There's no fan available, unfortunately.
No? Okay. I'm running around. I'm on my tiptoes going, what do I do? I'm Prash. What do I do?
So I just want to just clarify the first part of our show today. We did a murder mystery and now we're doing a D&D session. OK, let's go. You look around you. Are there any objects that you can grab?
I spy bathroom, spray after pooping, you know,
that's a good one. But that makes it too obvious, right?
Yeah. But you could put it in a brown bag.
Mystery spray from a brown bag. It's really subtle. Definitely don't read into that. And keep in mind, the customer is sitting in the conference room right now, like waiting for you. And they're just like, where are they?
Bring in ice creams.
Nobody can complain about stink when there's ice creams.
Distraction.
That's not a bad idea. I will say, Prosh is running off in the direction of the kitchen. Is that a good hint?
Tell me what he does. I can't think.
Okay, so this might be an extremely American thing, I don't know. Prosh runs to the kitchen, the company kitchen, and he knows where Nance, who I haven't introduced, wild card, one of his random coworkers, Nance in this case, she keeps a lot of boxes of microwave popcorn at work.
Oh, smart.
So Prosh starts rifling through the boxes of microwave popcorn. He finds the garlickiest microwave popcorn that exists that Nance has been hoarding.
A perfect accompaniment to stinky nervous sweat
is a humongous bowl of freshly microwaved garlic butter popcorn.
I love it. And <he's>,
so Prosh is like, let me go in first. He enters the conference room with like an armful, like humongous armful bowl, like almost a bucket of garlicky, fresh popcorn. And he sets it down right in front of the customer.
Prash has got Alan's back. My God, that's a friend for life.
Right?
If Alan's not married, this is best man material. This guy, this is a wingman of wingmen.
Yeah. And before they go in the room, Prash is like, dude, sit at the end of the room and do not under any circumstances raise your arms.
Prash, I'm giving you Sticky Pickles Award for the coolest move.
Cool dude.
Brilliant. Fuck, that's so good.
I'm so glad you liked
it. I feel so much better now.
Oh, I'm so glad.
That's it for this episode of Sticky Pickles. If we've made you smile, you know what to do. Maybe just a little review saying, oh God, thanks, you're back.
We'd love to hear from you. We've had some people messaging us over the summer saying they missed our voices. Well, we're back, everybody. You can get in touch with us on social media. We are at Sticky Pickles on Twitter. Yes, we are still there. And we are at Sticky Pickles Pod on Instagram. And hashtag Sticky Pickles if you are on the Fediverse, like on Mastodon. That's where you can find us there. Anything else you can find on stickypickles.com.
Yay!
Yay!
We'll see you in a few weeks.
So we'll see you all in 2 weeks. We're doing an every other week schedule now.
Yeah, because some of us are starting a new podcast. More on that later. Bye.
What? Kroll. What?
Listeners, if you need more of a Maria fix, you can find her on the N2K podcast T-, where she explores the new frontiers of cyber and space. And if you want more from me, you can find me and my co-host Graham Cluley on our award-winning Smashing Security podcast, where we take a lighter look at cyber snafus. Just thought I'd let you know.